Folks, it's good to have you with us again this Thursday evening, and we're going to gather around the Word of God this evening, and we're going to read from Acts chapter 12, please. So I trust that you have your Bible there, and follow along with me for tonight's study, Acts chapter 12. We'll read the first 17 verses, Acts 12, 1 to 17. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in, and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Amen. Amen. Now, folks, just before we share some thoughts from the scriptures this evening, we will turn to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow and worship before Thee this beautiful evening. And we want to thank You, Lord, for the glorious spell of weather that You have given to us. It has been so timely, and we are just so glad that, Lord, at this time when there is that cloud, as it were, hanging over the nation, yet, Lord, we have the beautiful spring sunshine, and we thank You for this gift. You are the one who created the sun, and You are the one who has blessed us with the sunshine in these days. And Lord, we pray that in Your mercy that You would continue to send us the sunshine. Lord, grant that this beautiful spell of weather may continue. We worship You, Lord, tonight for Your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you are in the place where you always have been, on the throne of the universe. We are glad tonight that God is still on his throne and he will remember his own. Father, we want to just thank you tonight for our precious Savior, for our dear Redeemer who died and rose again for us. We thank you for Christ who sitteth on the right hand of God. We thank you that he is there interceding for his people, praying for us this very night. We thank you, Lord, that we have someone who will never forget to pray for us. And we praise you, Lord, that we have a Savior, a great high priest in glory, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, Father, we thank you that Christ is coming again. We thank you for that blessed hope of the church, that one day the trumpet will sound and that the Savior will break the clouds. And what a day that will be. And, oh God, our prayer would be, even so come, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you would just forgive our many sins. We feel thee often, Lord. We are guilty of sins of commission and sins of omission. But, Lord, we pray that you will have mercy upon us. And even, Lord, apply the blood of the Lord Jesus afresh to us. Fill us afresh with the Spirit, we do pray. Now, dear Lord, we want to pray for those who are in great need. We take a moment to pray, O Lord, for the bereaved. We think, Lord, of all the families in the United Kingdom who have been bereaved because of the virus that has struck down so many. And we pray that you will comfort these dear ones and that you will give them strength and give them grace at this time. We thank you, Lord, that you have a handkerchief for those who mourn. Now, loving Lord, man of sorrows, we pray that you'll take your handkerchief and wipe away the tears of those who grieve. We pray, dear Lord, for those who are sick at this time. We pray that they may be healed, even those, Lord, in our local community who, Lord, are laid aside with the virus. And others, Lord, are laid aside with other sicknesses. And we pray, Lord, that you will come and heal them. And yet, Lord, we pray above all for souls to be healed. Yes, we pray for bodies to be healed. But we pray for the souls of men and women to be healed. And we thank you, Lord, that by his stripes we are healed. Thank you that by the scourging of the Lord Jesus, these sin-sick souls of ours can be healed from the greatest plague of all, the plague of sin. Oh, come to men and women in our locality, in our community in these days, and save them by thy grace. Make them new creatures in Christ. Now, dear Father, we just want to pray for the congregation in new buildings, that you would bless each member of the congregation, that you will minister to them and meet their need. We pray that the saints will be encouraged, and that the lost may be saved. We pray that backsliders would be restored. Father, we just pray that you will, Lord, be merciful to us as a congregation in these days. And we not only pray for our own congregation, Lord, we pray for other congregations too. The Savior said, "Other sheep have I that are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Bless every congregation of the Savior across the land in these days, we pray. And Father, we just ask that you will bless your people. Now, Lord, we want to take a moment to pray for the emergency services. We thank you for them in these days. We thank you for the sterling work that they do. And we pray, dear Father, that you will just help them and protect them and wonderfully undertake for them in these difficult days. And we pray, dear Father in heaven tonight, for our hospitals. We pray that you will guard them and protect them. We pray, Lord, that you will deliver those who are in our hospitals, Lord, who are on the front line, doctors and nurses, medical staff. We pray that you'll deliver them, Lord, from the virus. Keep them safe from the virus. Protect them from the virus. We thank you, Lord, for your great mercy upon our hospitals even to this day. And we pray that you'll continue, Lord, to be a shield, O God, and to be the wall of fire around Altnagelvin Hospital. And indeed all our hospitals across Ulster at this time. Father, bless our doctors and nurses and our medical workers. We thank you for them, and we pray, Lord, again for them, that you will undertake for them in a wonderful way. Oh God, help them to be fearless. Take fear away from their hearts, and fill their hearts in these days with peace and joy and with great courage that comes alone from thee. Lord, we take a moment to pray this evening for our health minister, Mr. Swan. Bless him, his wife and family, we pray. Help them and guide them in these days, O God. Remember Mrs. Foster, her husband and her family as well. Bless our first minister in these days. Father, we pray for our prime minister as well. We thank you for your mercy toward him. Thank you for raising him up from his bed of sickness. And we pray, Lord, that you will help him in these days and his government. And we ask, Lord, that you'll give them wisdom from above and that they may be guided by thee. Father, we just ask that, Lord, you would just undertake for our country at this time. We pray, Lord, for little Ulster. We pray for the Republic of Ireland as well. We pray, O Lord, for England, Scotland, and Wales. We pray for Europe. Indeed, we pray for the nations of the world. And we pray that even at this time, Lord, that many will turn in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we gather around your word, as we meditate upon this wonderful passage that has already been read, we pray, Lord, that you'll make it live, O God. May we see wondrous things from it. And we pray, dear Father, that the Holy Spirit will be our helper. Lord, we ask that you will just guide our thoughts and control our tongues and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our studies this evening, because we ask it in his precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I want you to focus on two words that are found in Acts chapter 12. And if you would go, please, to verse number 4. Acts 12 and verse 4. The two words I want you to focus on are after Easter. After Easter. Those two words struck me just yesterday, thinking about the whole situation that we find ourselves in at the present moment. Those two words came to me with great force. After Easter. And I want us to think about the passage we have read in the context of those two words. So let me say first this evening that after Easter, Peter knocked. Peter knocked. We read that in verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And we find again in verse 16, Peter was knocking. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. Peter knocked. He's at the door of the church, we could say. He's knocking. He's seeking for entrance into the prayer meeting that was taking place. And my folks, in a time of emergency, it's wonderful to have a prayer meeting. But anyway, here's Peter and he's knocking at the door. How did he get to this door? Well, let's rewind for a moment. Let's press the rewind button and we'll consider how it was that Peter ended up at the door of the church where the people were gathered together praying. Well, when we press the rewind button, we find that Peter was in prison. How was he in prison? How did it come about that Peter was imprisoned? Well, it was because of a monster called Herod. You see, we read of this monster in verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Here was a demonic attack on the church. I believe that still today we have demonic attacks on the church. We find in our nation at the present time that people are told to stay home. They're told to stay indoors. That is a very draconian measure. But we believe in at the present time that It is important to stay indoors as much as possible. Obviously, people need exercise. Obviously, people need fresh air. And obviously, I as a pastor encourage people to get their exercise and their fresh air, all the while remembering social distancing regulations. But I'm talking here about what's happening in Acts chapter 12. This is not just draconian, what's happening here. This is demonic. This is an attack upon the church. Herod was a tyrant. He was a monster. And he stretched forth his hands to vex the church. He was a persecutor of the church. Here was a demonic attack upon Christ's church. And folks, let's remember that the church belongs to Christ. The church does not belong to the government. No, it belongs to Christ. The church does not belong to Caesar. It belongs to Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." I hear a lot of people today, in fact, I hear a lot of Christians today quoting that verse, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." In other words, they're saying, well, we've got to close the doors of the church. We've got to stay at home and not meet in the church because render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Well, I'm not quite sure about that. I'm not convinced about that because the second half of the verse seems to be forgotten. Render unto God the things that are God's. Let me say unequivocally that the church is God's. The church belongs to God. And here we have this demonic attack upon the church. I believe today, folks, I am more and more convinced about it as the days go by, that there is a demonic attack upon the church in the United Kingdom today. And there's a demonic attack upon the church in Ulster today. What is that demonic attack? We are told that we have to keep the churches closed. The churches must remain shut. The churches are not to open. Off licenses are allowed to open. No problem. They are on the list of essential services. Isn't that a disgrace? Off licenses can open, but the Church of Jesus Christ isn't allowed to open. Work that one out. Well, folks, all I can say is that when we are told that we're not allowed to worship, that we must keep the doors of the church closed, that is a demonic attack upon Christ's church. And so, just as there was a demonic attack upon the church in Acts chapter 12, there's a demonic attack upon the church today. We're told that the doors must stay closed. The doors of the off licenses can be wide open, but our doors must remain closed tightly. How sad it is. I find it very sad that Christians and the church today just seems to roll over and accept what the powers that be are telling us. I find it incredibly sad. This monster in Acts chapter 12 was attacking the church. There was not just a monster attacking the church, but I want you to notice, folks, that there was a miracle. Yes, you've got the monster, but you've also got the miracle. Thank God for the miracle that we read of in this passage. The angel of the Lord was sent to the prison that Peter was in, and the angel delivered him. May God perform a miracle in these days for us, the church. We who are being attacked by the enemy, We who are under demonic attack today, I pray that the Lord may answer the prayers of his people and deliver the church from this attack. I pray that soon the Lord will deal with this virus and that the Lord will open the doors of the churches again. I pray that God will step in. It's time, friends, for a divine intervention. And I believe, friends, it's time for churches to open for prayer meetings. You see, Psalm 22 verse 4 tells us, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them." Why are the churches not reopening for prayer meetings? Off licenses have been allowed to reopen. At first in Ulster, they were closed. But because of Naomi Long's announcement, they were allowed to reopen. Well, who does Naomi Long think she is? I leave that to you to decide. But Miss Long announced that the off licenses were permitted to reopen. Well, folks, I believe it's got to the stage where the churches should reopen for prayer meetings. I'm not talking about the ordinary services. In fact, folks, I'll just be honest with you, I'm not overly concerned about the ordinary services, but what I am concerned about is prayer meetings. And I believe that it has got to the stage where the church needs to reopen for prayer meetings. Yes, social distance, get the hand sanitizers out. But even if you don't have a hand sanitizer, remember that the Lord is your sanitizer. In fact, he's the greatest sanitizer of all. But the church needs to reopen for prayer. This is a national emergency at the current time. And we need to pray. Our fathers in the past prayed. During the Second World War, churches were crowded for days of prayer. Why is it that there are no churches open now for days of prayer? So the miracle took place. Thank God there was prayer in Acts chapter 12. Oh, the church hadn't shut up shop. In this passage, notice Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, the end of the verse, many were gathered together praying. There was a prayer meeting going on. And you see, that is why the miracle took place. That is what brought about the miracle. And if we want to see a miracle in our day and generation, we need to get together for prayer. Yes. Remember the precautions that we were taking before the churches closed up. But we need to get together for prayer. And when we get together for prayer, my, the miracles will start to happen. People will be healed. But best of all, people will be saved. And it's the soul that matters above all, folks. Isn't that right? Yes, we pray that people will be healed of the virus, but we pray that people will be saved from the greatest virus, the spiritual virus that the Bible calls sin. Now, Peter knocked. So, after Easter, Peter knocked. Let me say secondly, after Easter, Rhoda was shocked. Rhoda was shocked. Verse 14, we read there of this little maid that was shocked. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Peter, who had been sleeping in the prison cell, and mind you, Peter was a good sleeper. We read of different occasions in Scripture when he slept. You remember the time when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he slept. By the way, when he shouldn't have been sleeping. Then we read of another occasion when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he slept again when he shouldn't have been sleeping. But in Acts chapter 12, of course, he was sleeping in the prison because he had peace in his heart, and he was sleeping quite rightly because he was in the center of God's will. pardon me. And you see, folks, Peter had been told by the Lord Jesus in John chapter 21 that he was going to die by crucifixion. Therefore, whenever Herod threatened him with the sword, Peter knew that Herod wasn't going to succeed. No, Peter knew that he wasn't going to die by the sword. And so that's why Peter was sleeping. Folks, Peter realized what I have told you before. I am immortal till my work is done. Peter was immortal till his work was done. You who are watching this message, listening to this message, you, Christian, are immortal till your work is done. I am immortal till my work is done. No virus can take me unless my work is done. It's as simple as that. So Peter the sleeper, he ends up, as a result of the miracle, he ends up delivered from the prison and ends up standing at the door of the church where the people are meeting together for prayer. And then, to get back to the message, we have Rhoda, who's shocked. She's full of amazement. She can't believe what has happened. She's overjoyed at the miracle that has taken place. She can't believe her ears when she hears Peter's voice. So after Peter knocked, Rhoda was shocked. Now I want you to notice something in verse 14. You have something very interesting there. Listen to verse 14 again. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. There was a closed door. The door was closed. Now, Rhoda was the doorkeeper. And that reminds me, of course, of Psalm 84. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Folks, I wonder, do you have a love for the house of God? Let me ask you this evening, do you miss the house of God? The doors have been closed now for the past month. I believe that the doors should be reopened, but we'll pray about that and we'll just let the Lord lead and guide as to whether that's his will. And we want the will of God to be done in all of this. And it's his will above all else that matters. Not my will or your will, but his will. Because his will is good and acceptable and perfect. But let me ask you again, do you love God's house? Are you missing God's house? Does your heart break because you can't come to the meetings and the services? The tragedy is that for many in Ulster, they don't really miss the house of God, because whenever it was open and whenever things were going along as normal, they went to it very infrequently, and when they did, they were bored senseless. They had no real interest. They didn't really even want to be there. They thought about what was happening yesterday. They thought about what happened yesterday, or they thought about what they were going to do tomorrow, and the whole thing to them was unimportant. Well, no wonder people like that at the present time don't miss the house of God, and they wouldn't be overly bothered if the church doors never opened again. But folks, I know that there are genuine believers, and those of you out there, and your heart is broken in two because you can't meet in the house of God. Well, I'm the same. My heart is heavy because we can't meet even for a prayer meeting. Hopefully, things will change in the coming days. But we must leave it with the Lord. But here was Rhoda, the doorkeeper. And she left the door closed. That's the point I'm trying to make. The door was left closed. But thank God, things changed. Because though we have a closed door in verse 14, though the doors of the church were closed in verse 14, in verse 16, we find things are very different. Look at verse 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Folks, the door of the church was opened again. And I pray that before long the doors of our churches will be opened again. Why should the doors of our churches remain closed when the doors of the off licenses are open? I have to ask that question. It's a question that I find very hard to answer. I find it most frustrating that that is the state of affairs today. That somehow off licenses are seen as essential, but places of worship are not. Folks, there's something radically wrong. But thank God, in Acts chapter 12, those doors that had been closed, they were opened. And I pray that the doors of our churches in these days will soon be opened specifically for prayer. We need to call prayer meetings. We need to meet together for prayer. Be careful. Yes, I believe with all my heart in being careful. But I also believe in the importance of the prayer meeting. Aye, there was a closed door, but hallelujah, then there was an open door. So we find after Easter that Peter knocked and Rhoda was shocked. But then let me finish with a third point. The people mocked. The people mocked. Yes, we find that as well. Verse 15 now we're at. Verse 15, notice it. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Thou art mad. The people in the prayer meeting mocked little Rhoda. They insulted her. Well, folks, all I can say is that Rhoda was in good company. Because I read of Paul the Apostle, who was accused of madness. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Just on over a few chapters in the book of Acts to chapter 26. And you'll notice verse 24. Acts 26 verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Festus said that Paul was mad. Just like the people in the church in Acts chapter 12, they said, Rhoda, you are mad. So Festus in Acts 26 said, Paul, you are mad. Rhoda was in good company. I want to encourage you, child of God, if people say that you're mad, don't get discouraged. You're in good company. You're in the company of Paul. Well, there was somebody else in Scripture who was told he was mad. And that, of course, was our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, believe it or not, they said that he was mad. Turn with me. And I know I'm getting you to turn to these different verses, but it's a Bible study, folks. And it's important that we do turn to the Word of God and study it together. So one final reference that I want you to look up tonight, Mark chapter 3 and verse 21. The third chapter of Mark's Gospel and the 21st verse. Notice what it says. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. The people said of the Lord Jesus, he is beside himself. In other words, Jesus, you're mad. Now I want you to notice very carefully who it was that said that the Lord of glory was mad. It was his friends. Aye, that's what it says in Mark 3:21. When his friends heard of it, they said, he is beside himself. His friends. People that you would have expected better from, people you would have thought wouldn't have said it, people you would have thought would have been the last to say to Christ that he was mad, but yes, it was his so-called friends. Child of God, don't you be surprised at those who insult you and criticize you and even say that you're mad, that you're insane. Let me say that even your closest friends might say it to you. Don't be surprised. But don't be discouraged and don't despair and don't get downhearted when people say that you're mad. When people say that you've lost the plot, that you're away with the fairies. They said it about Paul, they said it about Christ, and they'll say it about you and me. But I want to tell you, folks, that the person who puts God first and the person who does the will of God and the person who trusts in God is certainly not mad. And I encourage you, Christians in these days, congregation, church, I encourage you in these days to trust in the Lord. Fear the Lord. The problem today is that there are many people who fear a virus. And in fact, they fear a virus more than they fear God. And that's the tragedy. Well, I want to tell you, folks, that we are not to fear a virus. We're to fear the Lord. I think of Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Aye, there's a lot of people that fear the virus today, even Christians. They seem to fear the virus more than they fear the Lord. But I want to tell you, folks, we need to replace fear with faith. And we need to get our faith and our trust back in the Lord, because he's much bigger than any virus. How big is your God? Let me ask you that. What's the case with you tonight? Is it that the virus is very big and your God is very small? I trust not, I hope not. I trust and I hope that it's the case with you, that this virus is very small and that your God is very big. Ah, the people mocked Rhoda. They mocked Paul. They mocked the Savior. And they'll mock you and me. But don't be alarmed. But you just think about the words of the hymn as we finish. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. In the name, the precious name, of him who died for me, through grace I'll win the promised crown, whate'er my cross may be. May the Lord bless his word and the words of this lovely hymn to our hearts this evening. Folks, will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that name that is high above all other names. Jesus, the name high over all. In hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Father, we plead that precious name upon our lives this evening. We plead that precious name upon our church this evening, and all churches, in fact. We plead that precious name upon our country this evening. O God, remember us in these days. Forgive our many sins, our many failures as Christians. But Lord, we pray that you'll step in these days, answer prayer. O God, heal the sick. We pray that you'll deliver our nation from this plague that has beset us. And we pray that you'll fill the churches once again with praying people and turn our hearts back to thee, O Lord. Turn us again, O God. Cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion both this evening and forevermore. Amen.